You can go kick rocks, I'ma stack bricks up, build what I want to make. Yeah, I'ma do it my way.
Yo, it's the Sandwich Generation with my girl Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'ma do it my way.
The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
Just not as much. So, welcome back to season two of The Sandwich Generation, the podcast where we talk about what it really means to care for everyone else while trying to care for ourselves. I'm your host, Mitch, and it's really good to be back with y'all. But hey, life show do be life, and don't it? As Miss Seeley on The Color Purple said, I'm poor, black, I may even be ugly, but dear God, I'm here. Touche to dat, Miss Seeley. Touche. And just a quick note before we get started. Y'all know I be liking to keep it real on this podcast. I likes to use my Ebonics, and I likes to do the code switching when I feels like it. And none of that's changing. That's just part of who I am and how I connect. But I am going to make one little shift. I think I'm just going to limit the cursing moving forward. I'm not going to do away with it. But I think I lived a very repressed life, and I finally got the opportunity to just break out. So you might still find a few curse bombs here and there, but for the most part, I'm just going to limit it. Not because I'm censoring myself, but because I want these conversations to reach even more people who need this information, and also the people that can provide it, like our elders, our kids. You know, there are some kids out there, and I literally do mean kids, that are experiencing sandwich generation type issues. So I just want this to get out to anyone else who really needs to hear this in love. So, yeah, I'm still going to be keeping it real, just with a little bit less four-letter seasoning. How about that? How about that, y'all? How about that? So I would like to dedicate this episode to the mother of my dear friend, Candace Saunders. Sandra Saunders Asidu, who recently transitioned from this life. Oh, I wrote her name on the back of a calendar page. Called Words from the Wise, but I didn't want to see what was on the other side until I got to this show. So let's see if we can do a little bit of a reading or channeling. I don't know what this is. I wonder what the message might be. It says, wow. I wonder if she liked basketball at all. This was from Friday, January 24th of 2025. I pulled this from my calendar page, and the quote was, push yourself again and again. Don't give an inch until the final buzzer sounds. Larry Bird. Well, my damn, that is almost bringing tears to my eyes. Because when I wrote her name down, I wanted to write it on one of these calendar pages and just see what the message would be on the other side. And boy, I tell you, if that is not a transitioning message, then I don't know what, as my grandmother used to say, then I don't know what. Push yourself again and again. And she did. She did that on the way out to her transition. And she did not give an inch until the final buzzer sounded. That's really something. So I remember going to her house many years ago, when Candace and I were in college, and throughout the years afterward, I remember taking each of my little babies over there. And this is like the end cycle of the sandwich generation that all of us will experience in one way or the other. So my deepest condolences are with Candace and all of Sandra's family. I really remember she had such a sense of fashion, flair, and style. So that's part of her legacy on this earth that I'll always remember. So blessings, peace, and joy on your journey, Sandra. Whew, that was really something. So Yeah, so let's see. I wanted to talk about in this episode, we're going to be diving into something that's not just about self-care, but it's also about connection and the word I used earlier, legacy and healing. We are talking about hair care and how for so many of us in the Black community, it's more than just maintenance. It's bonding time. It's therapy. It's art. And it's part of how we love ourselves and each other. So the name of this episode is The Hair. We're going to deal with the hair right now. And we're going to be talking about hair healing and holding it all together. So, you know, let's talk about the meat of this sandwich of the sandwich generation. It should always be you and making sure that you are caring for your own self. So in talking about my hair, well, before we get into that, how about I say, if you've got some ideas, I would love for you to get in touch. We would love to hear from you. We want to know what your take is on this particular topic. Like, when did you first start doing your own hair? This includes the guys, too, because if you're, you know, a brother, shall I say, you still got to do your hair. You got a do-rag or you got, I want to say a jerry curl, but no, we ain't doing that no more. Although I think I did hear they trying to bring the jerry curl back is what I'm trying to say. So I don't really know about that. But you got your afro, you know, you got your cornrows, your twists, your dreadlocks. When did you first start learning how to maintain your own hair? This is for the girls and the guys. And then when you primp and preen now, are you ever reconnected with a family hair legacy? Like, I know now a lot of the parents, they have these contraptions that they put their kids on the counter and they can be watching a tablet or something. And they have this really intricate thing where you can put the hair and wash the hair and everything. And it's like an event. Do you have anything like that that you remember? I remember my mother used to put me on a ironing board. They didn't have those things that they have now. So I would be on an ironing board and I'd always be afraid I'd fall. But she never, nothing ever happened. And that way she would get my head up to the sink and be able to wash my hair. So when you do your primping and your preening, are you ever reconnected with a family hair legacy? Do you have memories of the bonding aspect of doing family hair? Or was it like always a tedious and laborious thing for you and your family? So I would love to hear your stories. Feel free to email at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. dasandwichgeneration@gmail.com. So level one, let's call this the meat of the sandwich. The lock method and tending to my own self. So let's get into it. Let's start with the meat of this here sandwich, which is self-care. So if you don't care for yourself, you don't have anything to provide for anyone else. You have to always know that you are deserving and worthy to be first on the list. Because if not, what did they used to say? If not me, then who? If not now, then when? Okay, so for me, that's all about learning and sometimes relearning how to care for my own hair. And so recently I discovered the LOCK method, which stands for liquid oil cream. And it works wonders for my curls, just like the acronym says it locks in moisture, defines my texture, and gives me a really healthy feel and shine that I love. But, you know, recently with starting a new job and juggling everything that we do in the sandwich generation, I've really been slacking. My hair been like, sis, I'm thirsty. So I've been trying to think about how I can reintroduce a consistent hair care rhythm that feels grounding instead of feels like it's another task that I have to do. So this is what I'm planning. And maybe it'll help you too. And remember, if you've got suggestions, feel free to email us. So maybe a weekly wash ritual, like Saturday mornings, like light a candle and play some funky music, white boy, or something like that. You know, like play some music. Treat wash day like kind of as maybe a little bit sacred, a little bit more than me time, not maintenance time, you know. And then midweek when I need a refresh, you know, like a quick spritz of water, a few drops of oil, a moment to really check in with myself, literally and emotionally. Sometimes whatever the oil is that I use, I even anoint myself, like my third eye chakra. I anoint my head with oil, the O and the lock method. You want to talk about grounding. That's really a grounding thing that I do. And then I've been thinking also about protective styles. So like something that gives me a break that I can sort of reset on the weekends. If it's going to be a hairstyle, it's kind of like twists seem to work better than braids for me. And sometimes I go way protective if I have my twists in with the silk scarf. Some of them are so decorative and pretty, but I really have to get some new ones of those. I also want to try stretching my hair with ribbon, and I'll talk about that in the next segment. Then I heard about something called dragon braids. Those things are so beautiful. Look them up. Just look them up online. And I'm thinking about that as a protective hairstyle for the week. There's this movie on Netflix called K-Pop Demon Hunters. And the character Rumi, she wears purple dragon braids. They're so easy to do. So I'm kind of thinking of that as a weekly hairstyle that I can refresh on the weekends and focus on life without neglecting my crown. Because the truth is, when I take care of my hair, I feel more like myself. I feel more like me, you know. What's the saying? Look good, feel good. And that's the kind of self-care that refills your spirit and your soul. So remember, if you have any suggestions for me or the other listeners, feel free to email us and let us know. We building community up in here. And so, you know, when we think about cornrows and stuff like that, that has a really big connection to the Black community as well, because, you know, enslaved Africans used to actually hide rice and seeds for the journey inside their hair. Think about that. There were complete routes that were built up in braided hair so that people could know escape routes. So there's liberation in hair. There's resistance in hair. There's community. There's legacy. I don't know. What else do you feel like is in your hair? I've seen some really creative things. This one girl, her name is Zaina Bear, and she's on YouTube. She might be on Instagram too, but she did the whole alphabet in her 4C hair. Can't nobody else do that, y'all. Ain't nobody else that can do that. With their hair. I've seen people turn their afros into unicorn hair. So, you know, whatever makes you happy and don't hurt nobody. You know what I'm saying? As long as you ain't catching a case, if it's going to make you happy and make you feel good, you know, really, really focus on nurturing and nourishing your hair. Because it is your crown, right? That's your crowning glory. So, yeah, infusing history and legacy and those family stories is really, really important to make this be something to where you're not just doing what you have to do. You're not just rushing out of the house to try to, you know, get to work or whatever. But you're really using your hair as a pillar. You might even put it on your calendar. What is your style going to be that week? You know, what are you wanting to convey to the world, you know, through your crown? So next up, we're going to talk about raising them shillings, raising them kids. And what does, you know, hair have to do with that? So I've got a pretty moving story. And we're going to talk about something interesting that you may have never heard of. Moving scalps. Yeah, moving scalps, or what's the other one? I think they call it vanishing scalps or something like that. And we'll be back.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy.
And we all got dreams, we all want things, but what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
So let's talk about that top bun. Them babies, right? They are definitely, they feel like the priority. But remember, you are in the middle and you are the meat and potatoes of the family. But that top bun, the babies of the sandwich generation, you know, it's a lot. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of focus, a lot of thought process goes into raising these kids. So, you know, sometimes it feels like we're raising our children while we're also trying to raise ourselves or at least keep ourselves together. So a few months ago, my son was in a play and his performance totally had me in tears. I was so proud. But what really touched me was that the vision that the stage director had actually gave me an opportunity to cornrow my son's hair right before the show. So he had a total, I think it was 6 performances, and I had at least 3 or 4 opportunities to braid his hair because he wanted his stuff tight. He didn't want not one hair out of place, okay? It had to be together. And so I know that it might sound small, but the chance to braid his hair, it really meant everything to me. You know, these children, they go up in their room and they just shut the door and play their little video games, or they get on, you know, their phone. And I miss the times when, you know, he would crawl up onto my lap, or, you know, even all the way up until he was about 10, he would fold himself up into a pretzel and sit on my lap. And I really do miss that closeness. So this chance to braid his hair was actually a lot for me. And it reminded me how much love and care go into the simple act of doing somebody's hair. And I also learned something new, which I was trying to explain to you guys. My son has what is called a moving scalp. Yes, that is a thing. So I braided his hair one night and oh my Lord, oh my Jesus, it was all diagonal. I was like, what just happened? What in the heck just happened? So we went from, I think the first time I braided his hair, it was in 5 cornrows going straight back. And he has it shaved on the sides and in the back. It was like 5. And then he wanted 8. And I had to start all over again. I mean, I'm telling you. And so if you know, you know. But if you don't, I'm finna tell you right now. He also has, I think it's called low porosity hair. Is that the one where you can put as much water as you want on it and it doesn't absorb any of it? So I had to take it all down, re-wet each section and re-braid. And you have to keep spraying and doing his particular hair. Yeah, you can do the lock method, which again is, oil, cream, and all of that. You can do all of that leave-in conditioner, oil, and cream. You can do all of that with that type of hair, but you have to keep feeding it in there. So I was like, between those two things, it was a challenge, as the people used to say. It was definitely a challenge. It was not easy to do. So with this moving scalp thing, I think they said the muscles or the second layer of skin are just really loose. And it's like skating. So what I had to do, if your child or you or your elder has a moving scalp, the key is to anchor your hands close to the base of the head. Go slower and make sure you're not pulling too tight. So what I did was I started from the center, and regarding the pulling too tight, I used the clips on either side so that hopefully it would just keep it in place. Like, I really had to dial them braids in. That was a whole lot. I was like, this is above my pay grade. And as a parent, my pay grade was free. So it was a lot going on. It was like a really a whole lot happening. And I didn't have nobody I could call for advice. But you know what? The thing, like I said before, even in the braiding and the unbraiding and the rebraiding, what it actually was, it was a time to spend more time with my 17-year-old, because I've got a matter of months before he's considered an adult. And definitely after he graduates high school, life is going to be changing. So also after I braided his hair, he noticed that they were two different sizes. And this is something that happens with Black people hair. You know, it shrinks, you know. So I taught myself, I figured out a way to stretch his braids to keep them from shrinking. Because Black folk have hair that when it's stretched, you know, even by pulling it out with your fingers, if you just take it and stretch it out with your fingers, it can be up to 5 times longer than it looks. So when my son looked in the mirror and saw that shrinkage, he was not impressed. Okay. He was not happy with that at all. So I instinctively and intuitively sort of came up with a method where I had some ribbon and I rubber banded that to the base where his scalp is. And I know you're going to ask, no, thankfully his scalp didn't move. I did it very gently. So I rubber banded the ribbon to the base of the braid near his scalp. And then I twisted the ribbon all the way around each braid. And then I rubber banded it at the bottom. And I just let it air dry. I didn't blow dry it or anything. And he didn't take all that off until his performance. And them braids was tight, baby. They was tight. Ain't nobody had a problem with them braids, including him. He's the only person I have to impress, you know. So they were all the same length. So it's just those small adjustments that can turn frustration into empowerment. And honestly, that whole experience really reminded me that hair care can be a way to open the door with our teens, especially the ones that spend all day in their rooms on their phones or on their TVs or on their video games. Even if they don't talk much, you know, the quiet moments that you're spending together, the brushing, the combing, the parting, the styling, the checking in the mirror. And I am telling you, let me tell you, child, my legs was just losing all feeling. I was like, is the circulation still going up in these things? But, you know, it builds trust and it builds connection in ways that words can't. So this might be something that you think about. What are some legacy building moments that you can build with your kids as it pertains to hair? You know, it's a lot of stuff out there. There's product. You know, I don't know what your budget is, but maybe you guys sample some product and maybe you like I was considering, because my son, he has a lot of facial hair, too. So that's another kind that you have to think about. He's got a lot of facial hair. So I know I was recently at Sally Beauty, and for some reason, it almost seems like his curls are not the same since this braiding experience. So I almost wanted, I had told myself I'm going to take him to Sally Beauty and see what kind of products they have for his beard. What do they have to bring his curls back? Because he's not currently happy with the way that his curls are. And I almost wonder, like, did I, because one of the times that I braided his hair, I was just trying to experiment. I washed it. I blow dried it and I flat ironed it. And that's another thing we have to think about for our hair. Some of us, just a little bit of heat really disrupts the curl pattern. So I need to ask him, when was it that, you know, you noticed that it wasn't the same? But, you know, maybe this is a outing that I'll use myself as an example. I take him on, you know, hair is maybe the thing that brings us together and gets us out of the house. you know, you don't like the way your hair is currently, let's take you to a beauty supply store. Or, see, I don't have the male part of this together. I don't know if there's a sort of a more manly place I could take him where, you know, they might have some aftershave and some teach him a little bit more about shaving his. Yes, at 17, he almost has a full-on beard. It's quite interesting, y'all. That's quite interesting. I'm like, what the what? So, you know, just doing whatever you can, using hair as a centerpiece to bring it together. Doing a porosity test. Do you have high porosity or low porosity hair? That's interesting. That's almost a science experiment, right? And then, you know, figuring out what is your hair type. So I know mine is 3B, but what is here his hair type? You know, these are things that you can do as a family that open up the conversation. And then we're up next going to be talking about elders. If you're all in the same household, how much more of a bonding thing can that be? Then, you know, the elder is sitting around talking about, you know, it's funny because black men back in the day, they would conk their hair, they would call it. I think that was, they would get a perm. I just remember seeing that in the movie X, which Denzel did an amazing job, by the way. Oh, my goodness. Oh, child, he did a wonderful job. But what are the previous hair stories? Like, who wore an afro? You know, who did a wet set? You know, who, you know, used products like Dippity Doo? I'm trying to remember. I used to, my hair is really fine, so I couldn't get an actual relaxer on my hair. But I used to use this stuff called Curl Free. And it was amazing. I really loved it because after a while, it wouldn't cause my hair to fall out, my particular kind of hair. And then it would just wear off, you know what I'm saying? It didn't seem like a lot of chemicals, but that's another conversation as well. Like when we're talking about braiding hair, a lot of that is very toxic. They're starting to find a lot of carcinogens in this braiding hair. And black women need to know that these relaxers, they cause problems with our reproductive system. So there's things that we need to pay attention to be safe. Yet, all of this is still part of the conversation that comes together for the family so that we can sit on the couch or sit at the table or sit somewhere. And yeah, for better or for worse, in this day and age, you need an excuse to have a conversation. Some of us do. If your family's not like that and you don't, quote unquote, need an excuse, that's great. But these are some things that can be talked about, you know, to keep us safe, to keep us interested, to keep us connected. Isn't that what it's about? Keeping us engaged and keeping us together, you know, locked in to what's going on with one another. Because we all have hair, or at least we did. There's a whole nother story. Some of the elder men enjoy talking about when they used to have hair. They will give you a good story about, well, back when I used to have hair, life was wonderful. All the women used to come around and now look at me. I got nothing. So I wear these hats. And then the conversation turns to hats, you know? It's just about, like I said, bringing it all together, connecting it all up, and, you know, figuring out if you got to use the word excuses to have a conversation and get people out of their rooms and out of their heads, then that's what it is. So again, if you would like to offer some of your, you know, advice, you can visit our website at thesandwichgeneration.com. Or you can email us at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. We would love to know what you think and how you can contribute to this conversation. We need to keep it going. Up next, we're going to talk about them elders.
Now, feel like I'm losing my mind. Is everybody in the world blind? Please, Lord, give me a sign. A sign.
Welcome back to the Sandwich Generation. My name is Mitch, and I'm talking about the three generations, you, the one before you, and the one after. So, in the other segment, so far we've talked about self-care, we've talked about them babies, and I realized that I was talking about hair types and porosity. Porosity is basically, from what I know, your hair's ability to retain moisture. So a lot of people, especially Black people, end up with dry hair because they can't retain the moisture. Now, Black people aren't the only ones that have high or low porosity hair, but it can impact which products you use, because the locked method is not good for everybody. Some people have to do something else for their hair. I also mentioned a hair type, which mine is 3B. And I think even that's wrong. I think I'm 3C, actually. I think I'm 3C. And if you want to know what that is, I can't really tell you all of it, but I do know it goes from 1 to 4, and it goes from A to C. However, that's what I'm saying. This is a family project to figure out what your hair type is. So you can look, look on YouTube and say, how do I find out my hair type? And then this becomes like a science project for you, your kids, your elders, and something to bring you all together. And why do you need to know your porosity and your hair type? That's because otherwise you might be choosing products that don't help you at all. You know, if you have a certain hair type, then you can look up, maybe use AI or get, you know, some advice from people at said beauty supply stores that I was talking about in terms of which products would work best for you. And then you can do, like I said, just kind of sample the products, try which ones work. And okay, I've gone through all of that. I didn't like it. Now let's try another one. What's another good one for 1A hair or 4C hair? I mentioned 4C hair because the girl Zaina Bear that I was talking about, she has 4C hair, and it's so pliable and moldable the way she uses it. You know, she can make actual letters out of her hair. So anyways, knowing what your hair type is helps with that. So I will say, you know, even if you're in a biracial family, a multiracial family, where you aren't necessarily a Black person, but you have someone in your family that, you know, has, you know, one of these three or four A through C hair types, you might want to, you know that information so that you can, you know, make hair combing time a little bit easier. So let's talk about the bottom bun, which is the foundation layer, which is our elders, right? Okay, so this one is really tender for me, just like my tender-headed mama, right? So in season one, I talked about, you know, placing my mom in assisted living, the trauma, you know, that it took to bring her to the same state I am in, and that I'm grateful that she's well cared for. I can see that her hair is always done, her nails are polished, she looks good. But sometimes when I visit, I have to admit, I catch myself longing to do her hair myself. You know, just to sit with her and braid or moisturize her scalp, like maybe we did in another life, another lifetime, a softer one, where we got along more and things were just easier, you know. A lot of times when I go, she's fussing at me. Things aren't the way she wants them. They can never be perfect enough. And that really triggers my childhood trauma, because I never felt like I could get it right. In fact, maybe a mental note, you know, a lot of times I feel like if I catch myself saying sorry a lot, where I feel like I'm sorrying myself out of existence. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That's me being in touch with my trauma, trying to get it right, trying to people please, trying to make everybody else comfortable rather than myself. And so that is a very cerebral process to catch yourself doing that. So I say all that to say the truth is my mother and I have a very complicated relationship. I do believe I went into that some in season one. But old wounds show up whenever we're together. And sometimes she's just not in a space where, or maybe I'm not in a space where closeness even feels safe. And that's the sad thing. I do sometimes feel like I have to get in, get out. One of my friends that I had years ago, who, again, I recently found out, passed away. She passed away in 2019. I hadn't been in touch, obviously, in quite a while. But she was in the movie The Notebook. She was the nurse in The Notebook. Her name was Jennifer Eccles. She would tell me, you know, I can only take the toxic people in my life. I can only take them in doses. So I say it that way. I take them in doses. You know what I'm saying? I take my mom in doses. I might take her in doses of 45 minutes or doses of an hour. But I really do wish I could just go to the assisted living facility and hang out all day. One day I had taken her out. This was a few years ago, and turns out she had COVID and she almost passed out. And so now there's new trauma on top of the childhood trauma. So I wish I could take her out more often. But unless I have somebody else there with me, I don't feel comfortable doing that. So still, when I see her with the two little pigtails that she usually has, I think about how much care they symbolize, even if I'm not the one providing it. And it also reminds me of how carefully and thoughtfully she would do my hair every single morning. She would put her comb on the tip of my nose to make sure the part was as straight as it could be every single time. And no, I don't think I had moving scalp. Then she would make sure that the ponytail holders would never be too tight. She would release the tension at the nape of my neck before letting me go off to school. And I just remember all these little touches that helped bring less pain to the hair doing process. She would even keep my hair plaited, because I remember one time, that's braided in case you don't know. That's how black folks say braided. I remember one time I just let it loose and oh my gosh, it was so tangled. But I remember even with that, even when she combed through all of that matted up situation that I had gotten myself in, she was very gentle with it. And so again, we're talking about legacy, right? Like, I don't like my relationship with my mother per se. However, you know, I do have those fond memories. And sometimes that's what it's about. It's about taking the whole of a person. It's about taking the totality of a person and being able to say, you know what, that other stuff they did, that was crap. That was no fun and I didn't like it. But I do remember X and Y was amazing and Z was interesting too, meaning X, Y, Z. You know, so X, Y, Z being all of the good things that you can point to. Because otherwise, life just becomes one big gripe session, right? And you can't make any headway. And one of my dearest friends lost her mom recently. And when that day comes for my mother and I want to ensure that I did everything that I could do, even if it was hard. So, yeah, sometimes I wish I could return the favor. We're not quite there yet, but hashtag goals, right? Hashtag goals. Sister can always have some goals. So one thing that she has told me is that sometimes the people that do her hair there pull and tug her hair too hard. And she said they assume or they think that her hair must be rough just because she's black. But she's always been tender-headed. So she always says, you know, they just get to pulling and tugging and I try to tell them, you don't have to do that with my hair. you know, she always says she likes it when people start at the ends and work their way up. And you know what? That's kind of a wisdom in that, right? Not just for detangling hair, but maybe also for healing relationships. And this quote that I read, you know, you start at the end and you work your way back up. Push yourself again and again. Don't give an inch until the final buzzer sounds, right? Like, you know, there's still time. There's still time to try. And it might never be the relationship that I want it to be. But in the end, I want to be satisfied that I did everything I could do. So maybe that's a metaphorical message, you know? Start at the ends, the parts that are already separated. And then, you know, gently detangle and work your way up. And so for now, I take comfort in just knowing that she's cared for. And maybe one day, if the timing and the spirit align, I'll get to braid her hair myself. Not just as her daughter, but as a mirror, you know, as her legacy. So, yeah, that's winding down today's episode, hair care and heart care. You know, whether it's your own wash day, your child's braids, or your elder's curls. And speaking of which, I be loving how they dye their hair. Is it purple or blue? That is hilarious as heck to me. But anyway, hair care can be a sacred act of love across generations. It can connect us. It can ground us. And it can definitely remind us of where we come from. So if you felt this episode, please share it with somebody in your circle, somebody else in the sandwich generation who could just use a little bit of comfort or a reminder that they're not alone. You know, and just a reminder, if there's something you think you want to talk about, you know, let us know, because I'd love for us to build a community here. Maybe we talk about fashion next time or something as boring as taxes, you know? I don't know. You know, maybe you have a better idea for a show, or maybe you would like to be a guest. Maybe you would like to call in. Don't forget to email us at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com or to visit our website, thesandwichgeneration.com. And that is DASANDWICHGENRATION for both. And, you know, just keep us in touch with what you're going through as well. You know, you might be, like I said, lucked in the sandwich generation, but you might be an elder yourself and you're trying to help another elder. Or you might be a teen who's caught up in a sandwich generation situation. Maybe you had a baby of your own and you're still trying to help your grandparents who raised you. I don't know. There's definitely a lot going on with our government and with our country right now with all kinds of benefits and situations. So just let us know. And let us know your hair stories too. That would be interesting. You know, email us some pictures, you know, of your hair journey. I know some people do the big chop, right? Or maybe you have a journey of growing out your hair instead. I've noticed that a lot of Black women now are shaving their heads. So, you know, that has some history to it too, because it's almost like reclaiming what happens with your hair, because previously enslaved women would have their heads shaved. So there's so much there, so much rich history, so much to think about and so much to do. So hit us up. Peace. We out.